comments much. Maybe we should. Maybe we should be like saying, Rudy, why did you say that, Rudy? That, you know, is that heresy? Anyway, it's great to be here. I'm so glad to be able to see you today and to be here with you. Someone said I'd rather be here than in the finest hospital in Brantford this morning. I'd rather be here than just been anywhere else this morning. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning.
Good to see you too.
Thank you, Don. I'll take that as an amen. Pastor Ralph is on vacation this morning. How many of you guys know that he deserves a vacation?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. He's been working pretty hard, and we hope that Pastor Ralph and Debbie will be blessed wherever they are and whatever they're doing. Whenever Pastor Ralph goes on vacation, I remember a cartoon I saw once. And in this cartoon, there's the pastor. He's standing behind the pulpit in the church. And a couple of the elders are standing close behind him. And he's wearing his waders and his fishing hat with all the flies stuck in the brim. And he's saying, I'm sorry for the way I'm dressed this morning, but until 10 minutes ago, I thought my vacation started today. So vacations are a wonderful thing. Someone said, this is a long weekend. I'm retired. We no longer know what a long weekend is. So. Anyway, God is so good. And it's a privilege to have God's word. If you want to know if God is good, just realize he's given us the scriptures. It's just wonderful. And every time I look at the Bible and I realize what God has done, I got to tell you, it just does something for me. Just does something to me. So I want to read the word of God today. And I want to read from the Gospel of John. And if you have Bibles or devices or whatever in front of you, I want to look at the Gospel of John. We're going to look at John chapter 6. And we're going to stay in John chapter 6, so you can just keep it there. There's 71 verses in John chapter 6. We're not going to try and read them all, but you should go home and study them. All you Bible students, that's your assignment for today. We're going to read sections beginning in verse 48. John chapter 6, 48. And Jesus begins to speak. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of my Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they're full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Jesus is the bread of life. Our hearts cannot be satisfied and cannot be filled with anything less than the eternal life that Jesus gives. To live a life for Jesus, we must have the life of Jesus inside us. We are followers of Jesus, and that means that we're living life from the inside out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your church, and I thank you for the testimony that your Holy Spirit is working in us, Lord God. We thank you for this promise of Jesus that we're reading about today, that he is bread that really fills, that he is food that truly satisfies, that he is the one who can refill our emptiness and give us real life that really causes us to live, Lord. Lord, would you cause us to be the right kind of disciples, to be the right kind of followers of the Lord Jesus. Open your word to us, Lord. Send your spirit. Change everything, Holy Spirit. Don't let us leave here the way we came. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this story in the Gospel of John takes place at a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus. And it begins with Jesus at the height of popularity. Thousands and thousands of people are following Jesus. But it ends the next day. Jesus has become controversial, and this chapter ends with thousands of Jesus' followers turning away from him until only the 12 disciples are left standing with him. It's a huge turnaround that exposes who the real followers of Jesus are, and it reveals what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, just like today, people back then had many different ideas about Jesus. People in those days followed Jesus for different reasons, based on their perception of who he was and what they wanted him to do for them. And that's a lot like it is today. People have very many different ideas of who Jesus is, and sometimes why people follow Jesus is based on those ideas. Now, some people, following Jesus was about the signs, about the miracles. The gospel tells us, in verse 2, a great crowd of people followed Jesus because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. People had never seen anything like these miracles, and they wanted to be where the action was happening. They wanted to be around them. Maybe a miracle would happen to them. People maybe hoped that Jesus would heal them. Maybe Jesus would add something to their lives that would make their lives better. They were looking to see what Jesus could do and give to them and add to them. Even today, you know, people that don't believe in God are still let you pray for them when they're really sick. You know, Jesus can do something for us. I might come to Jesus because he can get me out of this jam. People are interested in Jesus because of the signs, and they followed him because of that. Now, the problem with following signs is that one sign is never enough. The sign followers amongst the people who followed Jesus, I'll call them the sign followers, they had already seen Jesus do many miracles. They had seen him heal. They had seen him cast out demons. And they had just come from this place where Jesus had fed 5,000 people plus with 5 loaves of bread and a couple of small fish. That's an incredible miracle. It was a powerful miracle. And that's really the context for everything we're going to talk about today. This miracle where Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus their wives and their children and all sorts of other people from around, all the bread they could eat. They saw this sign. They saw this miracle. But seeing does not mean believing. And so we read that the very next day, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, why don't you do a miraculous sign so we can believe you? They'd already seen how many. But one miracle's not enough if you're just following Jesus for the signs. What are you going to do when the signs run out? What are you going to do when one day maybe there isn't a sign? Are you going to follow him? So that was their issue. Jesus says to them, he answered them when they asked him for the sign. He said he wasn't going to do it. He said, I told you, you have seen me, but you still don't believe. So seeing is not believing. There were people who followed Jesus because of what they could add to their agenda. The Bible says, Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And there's always people that want Jesus to be king of their kingdom. They have an agenda. Even today, we see there's many different people who are interested in Jesus because they think that they can use him to support their agenda. It's funny to me because it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, people believe that if Jesus were here today, he'd vote for our side. Right? And so the free market capitalists look at the gospel and they say, yes, it's very obvious that Jesus was a free market capitalist. And the left-wing socialists will read the New Testament and they'll read the gospels and they'll go, oh yeah, Jesus definitely was a socialist or a Fabian socialist or whatever. And so there are lots of people very interested in who Jesus is because of what he can add to their agenda. It's okay if Jesus is king as long as he's king of our kingdom. He just would make our kingdom, it would be great to have a king like that, just awesome. Our kingdom is great, our agenda is great, look who we got on our side is Jesus. So that was another group of people who were interested in following Jesus, a Jesus who existed to support their agenda. And there was many different views. Some called him a prophet, someone with a message. But if you would ask those people, they would say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. But then we get to John chapter 6, and Jesus starts talking about himself. A lot of times Jesus didn't talk about himself. He talked about the kingdom, or he talked about, you know, the Pharisees, or he talked many different things. But this, in John chapter 6, Jesus starts just talking about himself. He tells them who he really is and what he really wants. And he tells them what they must do actually to be his followers. And thousands of these so-called disciples leave Jesus in a single day. They stumble over his words. They couldn't handle what Jesus said about himself. What happened? What did he say that was so controversial? 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten their fill from only 5 loaves of bread. And the next day, these people wake up, they realize Jesus and his disciples have left the scene, so they look for him everywhere. And finally, they make this journey up the coast of the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias to Capernaum, and they get to Capernaum, and there's Jesus. They find him, and they say to him, Jesus, how did you get here? When did you get here? And Jesus gives them an answer that's very interesting. In verse 26, and I'll just read a few verses from here. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs are performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it isn't Moses who has given you bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus answers their question. When they find him, they've been seeking him out. He tells them something. He says, I know why you're looking for me. I know why you went to all this trouble, why you traveled so far. And it's not because you hope to see a couple of healings. It's not because of the signs. You're looking for me not because the signs are performed, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus is telling them that miracle of the loaves and fishes showed you the difference between being empty and being full. And it showed you that I'm the one who can fill your emptiness. Very few of us today worry about not having enough to eat. At least we're not worried that we won't have enough food to stay alive. But emptiness is still a major problem in our world today. In our world today, we don't know if life has any meaning. We don't know if we're doing enough or if we have enough. Studies show that young people who spend more time on social media are more depressed because they see exciting things that everyone else is posting on Instagram or other social media, and they think that those people actually have amazing, wonderful lives and that they can't measure up to that standard. I read an article the other day. It was kind of depressing, about talking about a certain age group in our society, and it was saying that these people didn't want to go out on a date with someone because they realized they didn't have a perfect body yet. Now, so they're not getting married, they're not finding love, I'm just not perfect yet, or my job isn't special enough, or I don't have enough. It's about, and this is the problem that comes when we believe that our life is filled by things that come from the outside. And our materialistic consumer society tells us, just keep on collecting more stuff. Just keep collecting more stuff. And we try to fill our lives with things from the outside. And that can even be religion. Religion can be something on the outside. It can even be Jesus. Jesus can just be an ornament that we add to our life from the outside, saying, okay, now this makes me feel better about myself. Now I'm a Christian. And that's how we look at Jesus. And we do all these things, but we still have an epidemic of emptiness. And we can't fill our emptiness with bread or anything else that lives or exists outside of us. Because a person who eats natural bread will become hungry again. Did you notice when the COVID started, everyone started baking bread? Everyone felt insecure, and suddenly the only answer people came, and by the thousands, people in their minds went, I'm feeling really insecure. I don't know what's happening in the world today. I better go get some flour and some yeast and make some bread. Why was that? I don't know if some of those people are still baking. Anyway, but a person who eats natural bread will become hungry again. And even if you eat miraculous bread, like the manna that came from heaven, it didn't last forever. Unless you have what you need from the inside, you're still empty. Jesus is the only one who can fill our emptiness, and he can only fill us with himself. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How's that going to happen? How are we going to get this bread inside us so that it fills us so completely? But Jesus explains this. He says, whoever comes to me. We need to come to Jesus. The followers of Jesus are people who come to Jesus because of who he says he is. And Jesus says, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus' followers are people who believe in Jesus and believe that he will do what he says he will do. The disciples who were left after everyone else left said this, we have come to believe. We know you are the Holy One of God. To be a follower of Jesus is not about our own ideas of what we think we'll gain by adding Jesus to our lives. When Jesus talks about never going hungry or never being thirsty again, he's talking about having eternal life inside you. We come to Jesus, we believe the words of Jesus, and then Jesus tells them something they never heard before. He says that to have this full, satisfying life, we need to eat his body and drink his blood. They had a problem with that, because that makes following Jesus very, very personal. When you eat and drink something, you take it inside you. And Jesus said, even to eat my body and drink my blood. To eat and drink something is to take it inside you. It means to let it nourish you. It means to let it work within you. It means to let that become part of your life. It means to let that become your life. Jesus gave his life on the cross for the sins of the world. We need to take his life into us so that he becomes our life. Now, this is the reality we're expressing when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to point out, Jesus is not saying, if you want to have eternal life, make sure you celebrate the Eucharist. He's not saying that. Don't get it backwards. He's explaining why that has meaning, because you really are taking me into yourself. To eat and drink Jesus is to come to him and believe in him so that he becomes the source of our life. He said, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Followers of Jesus are people who find their source of life in Jesus, and who allow that life to move in and begin to change every area of their life. You know, it was no mistake that Jesus talked about bread. In the ancient world, everything revolved around bread. They didn't have a lot of the choices we have in diet. They didn't have meat protein on a regular basis. In fact, the word food meant bread. And the word bread meant food. And anything else you happen to have was something you just put on bread. The first request in the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. The Bible says bread is the staff of life. Bread was life. So they knew, they could understand what Jesus was talking about there. They understand the significance of bread and how important it is and how deeply their lives depended on it. And so this was the radical promise of the bread of life. Walking as Jesus' disciple means that every day we allow him to work in us and change us in every area of our lives. It's unrestricted access that we must give Jesus in our lives. Unrestricted access, because he's working from the inside out. It means letting him change our desires, letting him change our motivations, letting him change our values, letting him change what we believe from the inside out. Jesus is the bread who gives eternal life. Our hearts are empty without Jesus because we don't have what we need to satisfy our own hearts. What our heart needs to be filled with is eternal life. Now, some people think eternal life is something that you get when you go to heaven. But if you have Jesus in you, you already have eternal life. Eternal life is Jesus' life in you. It grows. And it keeps growing, even when your days on this earth are over and you move on to the next life. Eternal life doesn't start when we get to heaven. Eternal life starts when we come to Jesus and believe in him. It starts when we receive his life now while we're still here on earth. Eternal life is not just an everlasting span of years. It is knowing Jesus and letting that knowledge change us from the inside out. Jesus said, "This is eternal life. To know the only true God and to know Jesus Christ, the one you sent." When you eat and drink and are filled, you won't have room for anything else. To have this new life requires a change, letting go of the old life we thought we wanted and letting Jesus live in us. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this was the promise Jesus gave to his followers, and it was a challenge. They had never thought of Jesus this way. They had never known that this is what it means to be Jesus' disciple. So on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Why was it a hard teaching? It wasn't a harsh word. Jesus wouldn't raise his voice in the street. Jesus wouldn't smother a flickering candle. He wouldn't break a bruised reed. It wasn't a harsh word. And it wasn't a condemning word. Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world." But the teachings of Jesus seem hard because they go against our own understanding and our own direction for our lives. Because we're natural and the teachings of Jesus are spiritual. They're hard because they confront us with the reality of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in us. And what he wants to be in us. Not a prophet, not a king, not a performer of signs, not a magician. Jesus aims to be in us nothing less than our very life. That's the promise and the challenge of following Jesus. The promise is we can have the life of Jesus Christ, that perfect life, that holy life, filling us and giving us life. The challenge is to have that life, we have to give up the old life. It needs to die so he can live in us. Well, the words of Jesus always confront us with a choice that we have to make. The choice is, choose to come to me to be the source of your life. That's the level of commitment that Jesus asked of his followers. It's an invitation to surrender to him. And let him replace our life with his life. Now the people who were following Jesus liked the miracles. They liked the parables. They thought the Sermon on the Mount was awesome. But when Jesus told them straight out who he was and why he had come and what it meant to follow him, they couldn't deal with it. And from that day, many people stopped following Jesus. What was the deal with Judas? Judas was chosen to be a follower of Jesus. He was called to be a follower of Jesus. He was known to be a follower of Jesus. And with the rest of the disciples, he said, "You have the words of eternal life, and I know you're the Holy Son of the Holy One of God." But he didn't have the life of Jesus inside him. He had all that. And some places, at some times, there's followers of Jesus who are like that too. We need to ask ourselves, what kind of follower of Jesus am I? Are we following Jesus because of our own ideas of who he is? Or do we come to him for what he says and what he wants to do in our lives? If we're going to try to live for Jesus, we need to have the life of Jesus inside us. We need to ask ourselves, is Jesus my food and my drink? Or is he someone I sing about on Sunday morning? I like singing on Sunday morning. I like eating and drinking. Am I making him the source of my life, feeding me, working in me, changing every area of my life the way he wants to? Would we be able to say with Simon Peter, "Lord, there's no one else we can go to. Even if we wanted to leave you, we couldn't leave you. Because only you have the words of eternal life." Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. When we listen to his words and believe him and follow what he says, then we know his life is working inside us. We've come to Jesus because we believe that he is the one who can fill our hearts. He's the one who can satisfy our emptiness, and he can only fill us with himself. Simon Peter and the disciples realized that they were hungry and they were empty and that only Jesus could give them what he needed. He said, even if I wanted to leave, there's no one else to go to. He was one of a small group of people. The 12, really the 11 if you count Judas out. The thousands who left Jesus that day missed out on the greatest miracle of all. I wouldn't want to be like that. I wouldn't want to be in that number, to miss out on the greatest miracle of all because I misunderstood or couldn't handle what Jesus really wants to do with me. He wants unrestricted access. He wants total control. He wants to take over. They didn't tell us that when we said a sinner's prayer and thought, well, I just have to ask Jesus in my heart and then I'm good for the rest of my life. One shot and I'm good for the whole day, you know. But that's what it is. And all of us who are followers of Jesus have come to know this because he's changing us to make us more like him. They missed out on the greatest miracle of all, but that small group of disciples who were left, those who followed Jesus all the way, what happened to them? They were the ones who got to see the cross. They were the ones who got to see the resurrection. They were the ones who got to experience the glory. They were the ones who got to receive the fire of Pentecost. They were the ones who took the life of Jesus in them and the word of Jesus and went out into the world and changed it. That's the promise of being a follower of Jesus. He's called us to change the world. He's called us to live his life. He is the bread of God. He is the bread of life that comes from heaven. So I just want to say, today we can ask ourselves, am I a follower of Jesus? What kind of follower am I? Have I got that foundation in him that means that I won't stumble when things are tough? Have I got that step of faith in him that says, no matter what he says, I won't stumble at his words. I believe in him. I do what he says because I know that he's growing eternal life within me now that will last forever. We can come to Jesus. We can come to Jesus and repent of our sins. And if we've already done that, we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, more. I need more of you. Fill me more. Give me that bread that will be inside me so I'll never be hungry again. Give me that Holy Spirit that will become a fountain of living water that overflows and overflows and pours out so I'll never be thirsty again. He's all we need, and we need him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the bread from heaven. Thank you for bringing Jesus to come to live inside of us. Lord, I pray that each of us would be true disciples, true followers of Jesus, because only you have the words of eternal life, Lord Jesus. Will you let your words of eternal life root deeply into my heart, Lord Jesus? Will you let your words and the challenge you give for the kind of life you want me to have, will you let that take deep root in me, Jesus, Lord, so that I can follow you, so I can know you, so I can live the life you put in me and live it on the from the inside out, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I think that's